Trend number 7. China moves beyond growth for growth's sake. Over the past few years, China has pursued an aggressive policy of increasing its gross domestic product at all costs. This has led to what some pundits have hailed as an economic miracle of growth in China as it moves toward a capitalist free market model. But the reality behind China's rapid growth is anything but miraculous. Beginning in the late 90s, in order to foster growth, the Chinese government made capital available at zero cost and instituted lenient tax laws, which touched off a torrent of spending. In addition, these policies encouraged local municipalities to build factories and other facilities simply to reap the benefits of that growth and to create jobs for citizens. The result has been a build-out of manufacturing capacity for which there is no genuine need. That, in turn, sparked fierce competition, which has pushed prices down by as much as 50% during the last 3 years. The losses have been huge in steel, automobiles, cement, and manufacturing, just to name a few. According to the October report from the National Bureau of Statistics, which covers 200,000 Chinese companies, more than $15 billion was lost in the first 7 months of 2005 alone, which represents a 55% increase over 2004. Such a hemorrhage of cash is unsustainable even for China. According to the November 2005 report from Simon Hunt Strategic Services, the Chinese leadership is now waking up to this dream-turned-nightmare and realizing that its inflated economy could collapse if something isn't done to control it. In a series of closed-door meetings, Chinese officials met last fall to work out an economic model for keeping the Chinese economy going while stemming the tide of losses. The new policy, simply put, is to allow only the type of growth that adds value to the economy. An element of this plan is to smooth the sharp divide between the wealthy urban population and the extreme poverty of rural areas. To begin with, many banks are being privatized and will have to make a profit. That means lending by the traditional rules of commercial banking. In addition, banks will be forbidden from lending in certain sectors where there's already too much growth. Investment in such fixed assets will be significantly curtailed. This, in turn, will slow construction, which will put the brakes on the overheated sectors of cement, glass, steel, and other metals. As these energy-intensive industries slow down, demand for electricity will also drop. The move to stop irresponsible lending, then, should reduce China's need for energy, which could also help the economy. At the same time, the coastal cities, which have seen the benefits of high growth, will now be less in the spotlight, as China turns its attention to neglected rural areas. Land and workers are abundant and 30% cheaper there, so industry will be encouraged to move away from the coast. This in turn will encourage the housing market and boost the local economies. However, China is still trapped in an economic quagmire based on a flawed business model. Its companies pay high prices for imported raw materials, and then they have to sell their finished products at low prices because of the perceptions of low quality of Chinese goods. The government wants to encourage consumer spending to cushion the slowdown, but most Chinese families are burdened by having to pay their own medical and educational expenses, as well as save for retirement, so there's not a lot of excess capital to support a consumer economy. The government needs to institute a social security system that frees up that capital. In addition, China's birth rate has recently been revised significantly downward, which is alarming news in a country that needs a robust workforce as well as a consumer class. In light of this trend, we offer the following 5 forecasts for your consideration. First, growth in China will slow dramatically in 2006, and manufacturing will lead the downward movement. Improved productivity will cushion the slowdown somewhat. Expect 2006 to show an approximate 7% rise in real GDP, falling to less than 6% by 2009. Second, by 2025, look for average real growth in China to slump to less than 3%. This means that over the period measured from the mid-90s to about 2024, growth will average just below 5%, with productivity growth averaging between 4 and 5%. Third, China will push development in rural areas, and as the standard of living rises there, it will create a new consumer class that could bolster an emerging consumer economy. The 20 to 39-year-old age group peaked in 2000 and is now declining. That is the age group China needs to buy homes, appliances, cars, and services that will support a healthy economy. The government hopes to develop this age group into consumers by building an emerging rural middle class. In the cities, there are now 33 million Western-style consumers. With the push toward rural development, expect those numbers to grow to nearly 100 million by 2015, producing robust new consumer markets. Fourth, China's recent policy shifts clearly show that the leadership recognizes the need for broad reforms. Those reforms will inevitably move the country away from the socialist model. Though this may take decades to accomplish, economic realities will dictate the shift. As the rural economy improves and goods begin to move from the factories to the new consumer class, there will be no way to avoid developing an economic cycle that reinforces sustainable growth. And fifth, part of creating that kind of sustainable growth is making sure that people have the money to spend and a willingness to spend it. China is already taking steps in that direction by offering rural farmers exemptions from certain taxes and offering free compulsory education to their children. The next step is to bring to them the same medical benefits that most of its urban dwellers receive. With those policies coming into play, we should see the beginnings of a Western-style economy in rural China within the next 10 years.
Thank you for joining us this month to explore the latest trends and the ways in which they will impact your business, your career, and your life. All of us here at Trends invite you back next month when we will focus on more of the trends that are now emerging to shape your future.